Good evening, man. That was great. Let's give that worship band a powerful. Needed that. Hey, just a quick a few announcements here before we begin our Bible study. This is an important week for our youth group. Right now, most of our youth are in Ruidoso. Capitan, actually, they're having a youth camp. And so if you're prayer warriors and you think of our youth, be praying for them this week. These are important moments for them, and God can do some great things in their hearts. So be praying for them. Also, I wanted to make this announcement to our Wednesday night group, because I know some folks come on Wednesday, but they can't come on Sunday. So I want to make you aware of a couple of things. First of all, guys, we do have a prayer breakfast this Saturday at 8:30 over there in the children's ministry. So if you've never been to one of those, guys, you're invited. All we ask is that you sign up on the list that's provided there at the information booth, so we'll know how much food to get. But just wanted to make you aware of that. And then also, as a church, we're gearing up to start doing some pretty significant projects around our facility, around our property. We're going to change some roofs. We're going to do some painting. Pretty soon we're going to be installing sidewalks and driveways and all kinds of different things that are going to be happening. And we are looking to do a lot of that work in-house, by our own talents, our own resources, our own energy. So if you're good at stuff like that, maybe you're a contractor, maybe you're a roofer or an electrician or something like that, and you'd like to be a part of that, there's a place for you, again, a little sign-up sheet there at the information booth where you can just put your name, your number, what you like to do, what you're an expert in, and in a couple of weeks we're going to be calling a meeting, and we'll all be getting together and kind of divvying out different projects and, you know, just really giving those projects to people who know what they're doing. And they can come up with all the creativity, design, and just make it happen. So if that would excite you, you have an opportunity to serve the Lord that way. Okay, tonight we're in Matthew chapter 13. So I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 13. Simple stuff tonight, but very powerful and very important. Matthew chapter 13. Lord, your word tells us to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of our hearts flow the issues of life. And so, Lord, we want to protect our hearts. And tonight, Lord, I pray that you would plant truth deep in our hearts and that we would have hearts receptive. Or change those areas in our lives that need changing. Make us aware of things that you've called us to do. Give us courage, Lord, to do those things that you've called us to do. Lord, we give you our attention. Do your work. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to look at a parable tonight. Parables. Earthly stories with heavenly meanings. Stories that come out of everyday living, but stories that illustrate very important spiritual truths. Jesus was a master of parables. He told parables that are so important. And tonight we're going to look at perhaps his most famous parable, the parable of the sower sowing seed. Very important that all of us as Christians understand this parable. So let's go ahead and let's read the story. Look at verse 3 of Matthew chapter 13. It says, "Then he," Jesus, "spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Okay, this was a story that everybody in those days would have been familiar with. Jesus is describing something that all of them would have seen. It was an agrarian society. They saw sowing all the time. So you have this sower. Picture this in your mind. You got a seed bag tied to the waist, and out the sower goes to the field, and he's grabbing seed, and he's tossing seed out into the field, walking in and out through this field, tossing seed. There are four kinds of soils that the seed lands on, and all of them bring different results. The first type of soil is called by the wayside. Verse 4, he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. Now, this was speaking of those hard-packed, highly trafficked trails that went in and around the fields. There were trails through the fields and around where people walked. High traffic. Eventually, those traffics became hard-packed, solid, almost like pavement. Okay, what happens to the seed that lands on that? Well, it bounces off. There's no penetration whatsoever. The seed just rests on the surface of the soil, and that seed becomes bird seed. The birds come along, devour it. That seed on that soil is completely unfruitful. No fruit is produced. Okay, the second type of soil, called stony ground. Look at verse 5. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. Okay, now don't think of a piece of ground where you dig in it and you get a bunch of different rocks up all the time. It's not all these different stones in the soil. It's actually a real thin layer of soil, maybe about 2 inches thick, over a solid shelf of limestone. So on first look, you would look at that soil and you would think, wow, that's pretty good, nothing wrong with that. But it's only about 2 inches thick. Okay, so what happens to seed that falls in that kind of soil? Well, it goes in, it germinates, and it sprouts. And it starts to grow. And actually, it grows really quickly. You think, man, that's the best part of the whole crop. Look at that thing grow. But what's happening? The root system is pushing up on that limestone, and it's just making it go up quicker. But the root system isn't going down deep. Therefore, it's not getting as far deep as it needs to go. It's not getting the nutrients. It's not getting that moisture. It's not getting that fixture. Okay, so those plants look good at first, but they're weak. They're unstable. And the moment the sun comes out, in those hot El Paso days, right? They get scorched. They can't last. They wither up. Again, seed on that kind of soil, completely unfruitful. All right, the third type of soil is thorny ground. Look at it in verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Okay, so this soil, again, looks like good soil. You would look at it, say, yeah, that looks great. And if you were to dig down, you'd find it, yep, it's plenty of depth there, no problem. The only problem is that unseen and hidden in that soil are roots of weeds and thorns. It's infested soil. And so what happens to that seed? That seed is planted, it germinates, it sprouts, it grows. But the weeds and the thorns grow right alongside it. And the weeds and the thorns, they take all of that moisture and all of those nutrients. And so the good plant is choked out. Again, seed in that soil is completely unfruitful. And then you have the fourth kind of soil, verse 8. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So this is good ground. Plenty of depth. No limestone. No thorns. No weeds. The seed goes into that soil and it sinks deep. And it sprouts. And it grows. And its roots stretch downward, getting all of that nutrient. It's a healthy plant. It's a fruitful plant. In fact, this is the part of the parable that would have caused the crowd to gasp. You know, in all the parables that Jesus taught, there's always a little detail that grabs people's attention. And this was the part that would have grabbed everyone's attention. He says, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, 3,000% yield, 6,000% yield, 10,000% yield. Back then, tenfold would have been considered an above average harvest. Jesus is talking about 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. He's talking about explosive fruitfulness, supernatural growth. Everyone who heard that would have gone, wow, I want that seed. I want that soil. So four soils, the same seed, different results. There's your story. Okay, what does that story mean spiritually? Well, sadly, there were a lot of people who heard this parable that never came to understand what Jesus meant by it. There were a lot of folks who never took the time to ask Jesus. In fact, we know that Jesus told this parable before a huge crowd that had gathered to hear him teach on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And he told this story to that crowd, and that's it. He didn't explain it. He didn't interpret it. He left it open for interpretation. Now, think about this for a moment. You're there, you're hearing that story for the first time. You can almost make it mean anything you want it to mean, right? So there was a large part of the crowd that said, oh, nice story. And then walked away. And it reminds me of a lot of people today. There are a lot of people who are just mildly interested in spiritual truth, mildly religious. They hear something and it kind of piques their curiosity. And, oh, okay, whatever, and they walk away. And you know what? If you're mildly interested, you're not going to learn anything. But there were others in that crowd, the minority, including the 12 disciples and some of the other folks that considered them disciples, and they pressed in to Jesus. After the crowd left, they came to Jesus and said, "Hey, we want to know more about that parable. What does that parable mean?" And to them, Jesus unlocked the meaning. And by the way, that's a principle I find. Jesus delights in revealing truth to us. He really does. He wants us to know truth. But he also expects us to press in, to seek him, to expose yourself to truth. And I promise you, if you do that with an open heart, if you seek God, if you seek the Lord, and you want more truth, he's going to reveal truth to you. So Jesus does explain this parable very clearly to his disciples. And I'm so glad that his explanation is recorded in the Bible, aren't you? Let's look at his explanation. Verse 18. "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away that what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Verse 20, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Okay, let's break it down. What does the seed in this parable represent? It represents what? The word of God. Four times in this explanation, Jesus speaks of those who hear the word. In Luke's account, Jesus begins his explanation by saying, the seed is the word of God. So that seed is God's word, God's truth. And of course, that would include the gospel message, the truth that you can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins and rose again. I love to think of God's word as seed. I love that imagery. I love the many different symbols that are used to speak of the word of God. The Bible, the word of God, is called in the scripture milk, bread, meat. I love that. It's our food. It's our spiritual food. It's how we grow spiritually. We're told that the word of God is like a two-edged sword that penetrates, dividing soul and spirit, judging the thoughts and intents of our heart. I love that. The Bible says that the word of God is like a hammer that comes down and just shatters a hard heart. But I think I like this one the best, seed. Think of all the potential that's in seed. How it germinates and multiplies and becomes fruitful. The word of God will do very powerful things in the hearts of people. You get God's word in a person's heart, and fruitfulness can explode. A person who receives the word of God, man, they give their lives to Jesus. They embrace Christ. They become Christians, and then they begin to study the Bible and get all that in. And I'll tell you, that person can become so fruitful. Think of Psalm 1, where David writes, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits at the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Fruit. Supernatural. Miraculous growth. The seed of God's word. Isn't it powerful? Think of how powerful that is. Okay, so it's clear the seed represents the word of God. All right, who does the sower represent? Well, what is the sower doing in the story? He's the distributor. He distributes the seed. So this would speak of those who distribute God's word. Those who share the truth of God's word. Those who preach the gospel. Preachers, evangelists, Christians out there sharing God's word. Again, I see that as something that's so beautiful and so powerful, and it's so available to every one of us as Christians. All of us as Christians, we have this word, we have this wonderful message, and we have a seed bag. And you can run around town casting seed. I try to remember that every time I walk into this pulpit on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning. Seed bag, casting seed. I think of all the seed that is being sown all around the world. I think of our radio program, 5:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, drive time. We have people trapped in their vehicles. And they get to listen to it. And I think of all the seed over the years that has been sown over the airwaves in El Paso. And not just my radio program, but all of the radio programs, all of the messages, all of the social media, all of the preaching. And yes, all of the faithful witnessing of God's people. Oh, think of it. And Christian, think about how exciting that is. You have seed. You know the gospel, the teaching of Scripture. And the better you get to know it, the more seed you get. And every time you throw that seed out, oh, the potential is so, so great. So I believe that the sower would represent any distributor of God's word, including me, including you, including all Christians. Okay, now we get to the four soils. What do those four soils represent? Well, they represent the four different kinds of responses that people have to the Word of God, to the gospel message. And I like to think of those four different soils as four different kinds of hearts. This is really important to understand these four kinds of hearts. Only one of which we want to have, by the way. Okay, so the first heart I'm going to call the hard heart. The hardened heart. The wayside. The hard-packed trail. Jesus says in verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Now, this speaks of a person who hears the word of God and it makes absolutely no impact on them whatsoever. It bounces right off. There is no penetration. There's no interest. And if there's any morsel of truth that lies in that person's heart, Satan comes and snatches it away as represented by the birds in the parable. This speaks of a person who doesn't have time for God's word, who is not interested in God's word, who has intentionally rebelled against God's word, said no to God's word. Jesus says this speaks of someone who does not understand the word. The idea is not that this person can't understood, that it can't be understood, but it's that they make no effort whatsoever to understand. They choose to ignore it, and they harden themselves to it. Now, a couple weeks ago on Sunday, we spoke about a very scary concept. There's a judgment of God that is known as judicial blindness. You remember talking about that? Judicial blindness. And the idea is that when a person stubbornly, willfully continues to reject truth, despite given opportunity after opportunity to respond to it, and despite all the evidence that clearly supports it, eventually that person will become so hard towards truth that they won't even be able to believe. Judicial blindness. Their unwillingness to believe becomes their incapacity to believe. They will not believe, they choose not to believe, so at some point they get to a point where they are unable to believe. And God essentially says, listen, you've had every opportunity, you won't open your heart. Your fate's sealed. Now you can't understand. Now you won't believe. Now again, I say I don't have any idea when that happens in a person's life. I don't know. I can't say that God gives you 100 chances. I think he gives you a lot more, don't you? But eventually, you'll get to a point where you'll pass the point of no return, and you become that wayside, that hard heart. Truth just bounces right off. Clearly, this is the most dangerous kind of heart, isn't it? You don't want that kind of heart. All right. The second heart, I'm going to call it the shallow heart. The seed that falls into that real shallow patch of dirt over limestone. Jesus says of that in verse 20, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy. Check that detail. Yet has no root in himself, but endures only for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Okay, so this is the person who hears truth, hears the word of God, here's the gospel message, and receives it superficially, impulsively, emotionally. So this is a person that seems to receive that seed. Maybe they're very emotional about it. Maybe even they come down an aisle after church at the invitation. They give their lives to Jesus. And they cry, and there's emotion. And maybe that person, even as it says, seems very zealous, fruitful. Wow, look at them. They're always at church. They're excited.
They're going for it. The first sign of trouble hits because of the word, because of their faith. The sun comes out. What happens? They split. They wither up. Their faith is proved to be superficial. I'll tell you, as a pastor of the church, I've seen that happen with a lot of people, and I know if those of you as Christians who've been Christians for long, you've seen that. Have you ever seen a person come to the Lord and it seems like, wow? I mean, they're radical. They change. Look at that person. Look at them sprout. Look at them grow. And then within 6 months, something happens. Gone. Have you ever seen that? I have many times. You know, I think for some people, the Christian faith can be sort of like another phase. You know how people go through different phases in life? People go through the different diet phases. People go through a yoga phase. Or people go through the disco phase. Wasn't that tragic? Disco? All the different things that people get involved in. And I think for some, Christianity is like a phase. They go to a church, they hear something, wow. They seem to get very excited. But as soon as it gets hard, they're gone. The shallow heart. Okay, now there are some Bible scholars who take a very hard position on this. They claim that this is speaking of a person who never truly gets saved. They're never truly born again. They heard the gospel, they had some kind of an emotional response to it, but it never sunk in. They never changed. And that could be possible. That's a possible interpretation. But then there are others that say that this would speak of maybe somebody who truly gets saved. They do give their lives to Jesus, but they never grow at all. They stay that infant, baby, little Christian. And eventually, the very first sign of trouble, they're gone. They never grow. They never become fruitful. Either interpretation, do you want that kind of heart? I certainly don't. Okay, so that's heart number two. Heart number three, I'm going to call the crowded heart. The seed that falls in the thorny ground. Look at verse 22. It's pretty clear. Now, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Okay, so this speaks of the person who hears the gospel, hears the word, receives it. It germinates, it sprouts, it grows. The only problem is that other things grow along with it. The receiving of the gospel becomes sort of a receiving of another interest that joins all of the other interests in their lives. Faith doesn't take over all of their hearts, only part of their hearts. And what happens? Well, that Christian becomes preoccupied. They start following other things. What does Jesus mention specifically? The deceitfulness of riches. How many Christians begin to spend all of their life running after riches, trying to make money? And by the way, Jesus calls it the deceitfulness of riches. How deceitful that is. Or they get caught up in the cares of this world, trying to pay the bills. All the different things that we deal with in life. Become consumed with all the things about, you know, dealing with this life. And before long, that's all we're focused on, the stuff of this world. And eventually, it becomes so preoccupied with that that you lose any of your fruitfulness, any of your concern from the kingdom of God. Now, again, there are hardliners who say this would speak of a person who seems like they got saved but never really truly got saved. Others would say, no, this speaks of real Christians. They got saved, but as they grow, eventually all the other things in this world take over and they lose all of their fruitfulness. And I tend to agree with that interpretation, because I got to say, there are a lot of Christians, I think, who have the crowded heart. You just get caught up. I would say to you, my brother and sister in Christ, always keep these warnings in your heart. We're told in 1 John chapter 2, do not love the world or the things in this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of his eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Christian, you are not to love the world. Anything in this world. You're not to love it. You're to love Jesus first, amen? 1 Timothy chapter 6, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have even strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's sad. Christian getting so caught up in money and riches. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. My brother and sister in Christ, don't worship money. Just don't do it. Worship God. Let God own your money. Because that can clutter up your heart so quick. Before long, you're not fruitful. You're not doing anything for the Lord. Now, I want to also mention what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 as well. Jesus said to his disciples, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That would be a word to those of us who are always stressing. Just caught up in, oh, you got to meet all the bills, and you get under that load and you get so caught up in all of the cares of this world, you forget. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. All this will be added to you. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have to work hard. We do, don't we? We need to be responsible in our careers and take charge of things and go for it. But we should never stress. Do your best and then give the rest to God. And he'll give you rest. He really will. The crowded heart. I think that's the big one. That's a tough one. And then, of course, the heart that we should all want. Verse 23, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, bears fruit, and produces some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. That's the heart I want. Isn't that the heart you want? It's that heart that hears God's word, receives it humbly, lets it sink deep, chews on it, meditates on it. More seed. Just keep bringing the seed. And allowing that seed to germinate and grow and blossom and change and produce fruit, to allow it. Man, that is the heart we should all want to have as Christians. Okay, so the hard heart, the shallow heart, the crowded heart, the good heart, the fruitful heart. Which one do you have as you consider your life? I think this is such a powerful, powerful parable because it really does, there's a lot to be learned from this concerning preaching and witnessing and all that. I want to give you five principles for those of us who are witnesses. You're one of the sowers out there. You're sharing the gospel. You're out there. You're in the fight. There's five things I want you to consider. Number one, don't be discouraged in your sowing. Don't ever get discouraged. Some of you might get discouraged. You'll be out there witnessing and you'll think, well, nobody's responding. What's wrong with me? Maybe I don't say it right. Don't ever get discouraged about sharing your faith, ever. Because what do we learn from this parable? 25%. 1 out of 4, 2 out of 8, 3 out of 12 have the response that you're looking for. That means that you might have to share with 12 people, and the last 3 are the ones who respond. 25%, man. Know that going in. Hey, this is spiritual warfare. There's fights for people's souls. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged, because there are people that are going to come. You're going to share the gospel, and it's going to land in somebody's heart, and it's going to take root, and it's going to blossom, and that person is going to be so fruitful. I've always loved the story about Dwight L. Moody. When he was 18 years old, he worked in a boot shop, and he was not following the Lord. And it took a Sunday school teacher at his church. A Sunday school teacher felt, I got to go talk to this Dwight L. Moody. And you read the story. This teacher went by that boot shop like 5 or 6 times, afraid to go in, not sure if he was really hearing from the Lord. Finally, he went into the boot shop. Dwight L. Moody was in the back. He walked into the back. He put a hand on Dwight L. Moody's shoulder. And the way he puts it, gave just the worst gospel presentation ever in the history of gospel presenting. Said it was just terrible. Dwight L. Moody didn't think so. The lights clicked. He credits that day as the day that he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And look what he did. A faithful Sunday school teacher. So don't be discouraged. That potential's always there. And by the way, we also know this. Whenever you share, no matter who it is, no matter what heart they might have, God always uses that effort. God will always use that effort. Now, I personally don't think we'll ever spend much time speaking to those people with the hard hearts. You know why? We'll identify them, and they won't want anything to do with us. When you got a hard heart, when you've reached that place, you could care less. Somebody tries to share the gospel with you, you're like, get out of here. So I think when you actually get into meaningful conversations with people about the Christian faith and you share the gospel, I think you're dealing with those 75% there. And the scripture says that there are some who are called to plant seeds. There are some that are called to come along later and do what? Water. And then there are some who are called to come along later and harvest. And I think whenever you share the gospel, no matter who it might be, that's happening. You're planting seeds, you're watering. And the potential there is to watch God change a life in a wonderful way through your testimony. So don't ever, ever be discouraged. Here's the second thing. Don't ever change the message. Don't ever change the message. There's four different hearts. How many messages? Just that one seed, right? Christian, don't ever, ever change the message. Don't ever think to yourself, well, I need to make the gospel more palatable. I need to add something to it or take away something. No. You share the gospel. You share the word of God as is written. You don't change it. And by the way, don't be one of these people that's always looking for different methods as well. How does somebody get saved? They have to hear the message of the gospel. It has to be communicated to them. There might be different ways to get people's attention, but you don't replace anything for the clear preaching and teaching of God's word, that seed. Don't ever change the message. Number three, very important, those of you who are sharing your faith, you warn people about trials. When you share the gospel with people, don't you dare tell them that if they come to Jesus, everything becomes rosy. Don't give people the impression that once they give their lives to Jesus Christ, you live a Cinderella life. Is that true? It is not true. You give your life to Jesus Christ, and many times you'll start experiencing trials like you've never experienced before. So you tell people the truth. And that's sort of the strategy that helps against the shallow hearts. Remember, it's the shallow hearts. They take off as soon as they're a trial. Well, maybe if we told more people that trials are coming, they wouldn't take off as soon as they experience their first trial. Fourth, when you're sharing the gospel, teach surrender. Teach lordship. What Jesus did for us is free, and you receive salvation freely by faith in Christ, don't we? There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. But then doesn't Jesus say, follow me? Doesn't there need to be surrender, lordship at some point? So that's the strategy and the defense that you might use against the person with the crowded heart. You say, hey, I want you to come to the Lord, but you need to listen here. If you make this decision, Jesus needs to become number one in your life, greater than any other pursuit in your life. Let him know ahead of time. And then fifth, very, very important. The only difference in all of these examples is the heart. Sower can be the same, seed can be the same, and should be the same, right? What's the difference? The heart. Before you share the gospel with anybody, pray for their hearts. Pray for their hearts. Ask God to break up those hard hearts. Prayer is so important.
very important principles for us as sowers. Okay, real quick, for those of us as hearers, our brother and sister in Christ, I ask you, what kind of heart do you have? The Bible does say, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. My brother and sister in Christ, guard your heart and protect what you allow in your heart. You protect what you allow in your mind. You guard your heart. Even as Christians, if you put a bunch of garbage, trash in your heart, it's going to impact you for the worse. Put this in your heart. Fill your heart with seed. Stay hungry for God's word. Give your attention to it. Don't ever let that slip. And then, my brother and sister in Christ, look at the fruitfulness that's available. And I will tell you, you notice that even for the good heart, there's different levels of fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Well, which one do you want to be? Which one? You can be as fruitful as you want. It can be incredible. How much time will you give to God's word? Oh, all of us should desire to be as fruitful as we possibly can. Amen. And you have to protect it. Again, getting back to this distraction thing and getting off track. Have you noticed when you're gardening, and I'm not a very good gardener, but I know what gardening is, but you wouldn't want to garden like I garden. But how hard it is to grow a flower and how easy it is to watch a weed grow. You notice that? Isn't that a bummer? I mean, you can work so hard to get this beautiful crop going. And the weeds, I've seen weed grow through concrete in my front yard. I mean, isn't that a bummer? Weeds grow so quick. Listen, weeds come so easily into our lives. Distractions, as quick as that. You got to always be on the lookout. You got to be constantly evaluating, thinking, where am I in life? Am I growing? Am I letting something become more important to me? Let's be good listeners. Let's keep letting that seed. Amen. I'm going to close it right there. Why don't you bow your heads with me? Lord, I want to pray tonight for the hearts of your people, including mine, including everyone that's here tonight, including everyone that might hear this message. I pray for hearts. And with your head bowed and your eyes closed, right now, pray for your heart. What kind of heart do you have? Is it crowded? Is it shallow? Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. I ask you, are you still pressing in? Are you still seeking? Are you still hungry for it? Don't ever lose that hunger. Lord, give us good hearts. Give us hearts that are receptive, Lord. Hungry. Bear fruit. And then, Lord, I would pray that we would be fruitful. We would be as fruitful as we could possibly be with the few days that we have walking upon this planet. God, make our lives fruitful for your kingdom. Father, I'd also like to pray that we would be good sowers. I'd like to pray, Father, that as your people, we would be willing to throw out that seed. We'd be willing to share truth with our friends, with our family members, with co-workers, as we have opportunity. Father, give us courage to do that. Lord, maybe there are some here tonight who's never once have tried. Encourage them. Show them what can happen. In fact, again, with your head bowed, eyes closed, and you're thinking through, maybe God is putting somebody on your heart that you need to share truth with. God is putting someone on your heart right now. Ask God to help you. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to give you an opportunity. Reach out to that person tomorrow. Call them, email them. Throw that seed. And then, Father, I'd like to pray for anyone here tonight who has not received you. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never truly received Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never understood that he died on the cross for your sins and rose again. He's alive. He's real. And if you respond to him in faith, you will be forgiven of all your sins. You'll become a child of God. Have you received that yet? I want you to have that opportunity to do that right now. Don't reject. Receive. If that's you, just open your heart. Say, Lord, I open my heart right now to you, and I invite you in. I ask you right now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I receive you. I place my faith in you. Plant your truth deep, deep in my heart. And help me to follow you through all the trials that will come. Help me to walk through all of the distractions. Help me to be fruitful for you. Amen.